Hello, my name is Christine Prue. I work at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and I'm happy to be here to talk about one of our campaigns called the Learn the Signs, Act Early campaign. And while I have many relationships, I do not have any financial relationships to disclose at this time. I'm going to focus on how health communication theory was applied to the shaping and the creation of this campaign, which actually preceded my term in leading this campaign, but it was a cool formative research project that led to a neat campaign that continues to this day and is in a time of transition and reformulation. Like every good campaign, there's a season where you do certain things and then you evolve and you go on and reformat yourself. This is the worst time of day for me to be presenting. It's like I'm on East Coast time and I can't think and talk. So please forgive me. Such a crazy. It's also a neat campaign because it's on a very controversial topic and one that is near and dear to many people's hearts, and that has to do with the mandate that CDC had to do an autism awareness campaign. And autism is a really scary topic for parents to even approach the topic of, let alone have to look for in their children. So it was a real challenge for us to look at how do you get parents to look for possible missed milestones which might mean autism eventually without shutting them down. So it's it was a very complex communication challenge for the planners to deal with. The mission of the campaign is actually the mission of the center, the National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities, which is for every child to reach his or her full potential. The campaign objectives included increasing awareness around developmental milestones and early warning signs of developmental disabilities, including autism. It had to do with increasing the knowledge and the benefits of early action and early intervention. If you see something, there's stuff that you can do that will be helpful. The third is to increase parent and provider dialogue on the topics of developmental milestones and delays. Doctors are supposed to be looking at these milestones. Parents clearly are interacting with their children but may not know what to look for. So how do we get them both looking for some things and then talking with each other about what they're seeing? And then lastly, to increase early action on childhood developmental problems. If they're seeing things that they're concerning, to do something about it. The target audiences for this campaign included parents of young children, and that it's parents of children under the age of 4 and younger, healthcare professionals who interact with young children, pediatricians, physician assistants, nurse practitioners, whole gamut of people, as well as early educators, people who are daycare providers, preschool teachers, people who spend a lot of time with young children. Today, I'm going to just focus on the message framing and the marketing materials that are directed towards parents of young children. Okay. But let me tell you a little bit about the landscape around autism. Certainly, there's been a lot of information about autism over the last few years, and certainly surveillance systems at CDC have identified that 1 in 150 children have an autism spectrum disorder, which is important. That is a spectrum disorder, and everybody, when they think of autism, goes to one end of the spectrum, which is like the Rain Man spectrum part of the spectrum, but there's a lot of variability in terms of what ASDs are and how they present. Certainly, most parents really believe autism is an important issue to deal with, but they don't know what they're looking for. They don't know what the warning signs are for autism, and they don't really understand this whole notion of acting early. They think it's autism, what can be done. The average age of diagnosis of kids with autism is 5 upon school entry, which is really too late if you want to intervene early and sort of change the trajectory of a child's social speech, play, all that interaction kind of stuff. So the real key is convincing parents that early intervention can be really important to their child's overall life trajectory. And then, you know, autism, we don't understand the etiology. We don't know. We know we have lots of clues. There's a lot of epidemiologic and etiologic research around autism trying to figure that out. But it's a really fearful condition. People, don't want to go there, especially parents, you want to think of really positive things about your life. And autism isn't on the list of things that they would want their child to have. So there's huge denial mechanisms that come into play, both for parents and, believe it or not, even for healthcare providers. This is not a diagnosis that they feel comfortable making or want to make. There's a lot of drama in this along with the diagnosis, which led us to our real core challenges. How do we encourage parents to look for signs, developmental milestones, and signs of autism when they don't know what to look for and what the signs are, and when fear is really high? So that's a twofold challenge, and we looked to health communication theory to sort of shape that. And we used stages of change. You're probably all real familiar with it. It's a pre-quantum phase, so the issue is not on anybody's radar screen. There may not be a knowledge. There might not be language around that. They're completely unaware. There might even be resistance to that. In some of that contemplation is it's on their radar screen. They're maybe open to learning some new things or looking for things. Preparation is they're seeking out information. They're trying to equip themselves and trying to make a decision about, you know, what they're going to look for in terms of milestones or information about autism. Action is, for us, they're actually monitoring their child's development. They're looking, they know what the milestones are, they're looking for them, they know what the early warning signs are, and they're actively looking for them and tracking them in some way, and even looking at getting family involved in looking at them, as well as conversations with healthcare providers. And continuance or maintenance is continuing that behavior. This is, when you think of developmental delays, you've got the word development in there, which means it's not a static thing over time. Child changes over time. So this is certainly one of those issues where they have to look for new sets of milestones as their child develops. And there's that time element of it as well. So, and realizing that, you know, there isn't one time frame for child development. Every child uniquely expresses their development over time, and there's windows for certain things to happen. So it's not a hard science in terms of they have to accomplish all of this by this certain time or they're, you know, delayed. There's room for children to emerge, their different milestones to emerge over time, but certainly windows where you need to be concerned if you don't see something happening. So our goal is to get people to move from pre-contemplation to contemplation and then, you know, through the cycle here. And you know that in stages of change, there's lots of different ways to get people to think about moving from one stage to the other, and there's key constructs in that model. One of them is decisional balance in terms of, the pros and cons of something, doing something versus not doing something. And one of the things that we had to really stress with parents and some of the ideas that we tested were, you know, do you want to find something out at 2 or at age 4 and practically lose 2 years of possible intervention time if you had acted earlier? So the whole notion of getting pros and cons to do certain things, but also to do them sooner than later. Consciousness raising, sort of letting people know that they need to take things seriously, that early action will have beneficial outcomes and lead to more positive results. So just letting them know that, you know, the benefits of early intervention certainly are there. Dramatic relief. The whole notion of tapping into parents' emotions around being a good parent and being nurturing and being interactive with their child and sort of all the social communication play domains that are normal child development, and tapping into that was really important. And then environmental reevaluation, certainly the approach of people having a landscape in a child's life where everybody's sort of looking for some things and enforcing, reinforcing, and seeing through their own lens and discussing what they're seeing over time. There were a number of concepts that were developed for this campaign, and these aren't, I know you can't read them, but there were some very direct, indirect messages, as well as we tested messages around, do we use the word autism in this campaign? Do we use developmental problem in the campaign? Is this a very serious topic? How do you broach it using humor, possibly? Do you use a gain frame or a you know, a loss frame in this, in terms of, you know, gain frame being if you do this, these positive things will happen. Loss frame, if you don't do this, negative things will happen. Which ones are more powerful? So we did a variety of concept testing. And the results of the concept testing certainly showed that we certainly had to use a serious tone, because this is a serious topic, and it would grab their attention, but it was actually very threatening and really led people to deny or sort of shut down, especially the autism. When we used autism in the messaging, people sort of said, tune out, that's not going to happen to my child. But we're not going there. So if you're trying to move people from pre-contemplation to contemplation, you need to use words that don't turn them off. So this was actually, you know, good for parents. It was actually very challenging for CDC, because we had a lot of partners who are autism advocacy partners and saying, hey, this is an autism awareness campaign. Where's the word autism? So it was really challenging to sort of negotiate. Thank God we had consumer research that said we can't start this campaign with autism. We have to start with developmental milestones and lead towards that, versus starting out the gate with an autism campaign. They also really liked one of the key message frames around this was juxtaposing physical milestones, which parents were very tuned into, height, growth, weight, those kinds of milestones. You know, you always have the height chart, and they mark, I don't know, you have a place on your wall in your house that has everybody's marks on it and their years and stuff, versus the developmental milestones, the social, the language, the looking, the interaction. That developmental milestones really, I mean, I didn't learn them in school. I don't know if many folks here ever learned them in school, but become a parent, you know, you sort of then tune into these things. So the campaign took an approach where it juxtaposed the physical and the developmental milestones together, because you took something familiar and tied new language, new information to that, and that seemed to work really well. I already mentioned this, the campaigns where we specifically used autism instead of developmental problem caused parents really to opt out of the message completely. It wasn't something they wanted to hear. They didn't feel comfortable hearing about it. They would just pull back and shut down. So we couldn't go there. Fear appeals get a lot of press in health communication, and maybe this is in terms of moving people from pre-contem to contemplation, maybe fear appeals may work at later stages, but certainly on this campaign, it wasn't a place we would go, because autism was just, people had such a strong and visceral reaction to really something that's quite scary. Wanted to talk about the message framing in terms of gain frame and loss framing. And we could have said, the phrase here is, finding out your 2-year-old has a developmental problem is heartbreaking. Not finding out until he's 4 is worse. It's sort of that loss frame in terms of, you know, if you had done this kind of sooner, sort of there's a lot of guilt, a lot of blame, something parents don't need if they're dealing with a possible diagnosis of autism. So clearly that didn't work. But when we positioned it as, you know, there are signs of growth that your child, that you shouldn't miss, which is still negative, but we changed the language into language that says, here are the milestones you should be looking for. And if you don't see them, then do something about it, because the benefit is early action. Early action leads to a lot of good benefits. So the whole message is framed around gain frame. If you do this, good things will happen. So the campaign actually has a variety of channel tools, products, as well as products that are disseminated in a number of ways. One of the, I think, coolest things, and if you have children under the age of 4 in your life, whether nephews, nieces, sons, daughters, other people's children, you could go to CDC's website, and there are interactive checklists that parents can use, or email to friends who might be interacting with their children and say, tell me what you see, that are age specific. And there's nice little list for that particular age. And you can say, hey, tell me what you're, email it to grandma, email it to uncle, whoever is in their lives, and say, tell me what you're seeing in terms of the milestones in whoever the child is that is in your life. And that's a real popular one. It's also one that parents can print out and take to doctor's office with them to facilitate that dialogue around developmental milestones. So that's a really cool product. We also have these, again, the juxtaposition of physical milestones and developmental milestones, some really nice height charts, you know, the things you put on the wall, and people can add pictures of their children reaching them, and there's also the list of the key developmental milestones for each of the, for the ages from 0 up to 5 years. And then we have these really neat cards that get placed in doctor's offices, and they're called a healthcare provider kit, but they're really not directed to the healthcare provider. They're directed to the parent who's waiting in the waiting room, because parents with young kids spend a lot of time in pediatric waiting rooms, and they can read the milestones and then use that tip card to talk with a doctor about milestones that their child is reaching or things they might be concerned about. So there's a lot of really cool things. We also have posters that regularly appear on Grey's Anatomy, though you have to know what you're looking for to see it, so I really can't call that. And we're on the Jumbotron in New York, and just other really cool things. We've done some really neat placement with the Best DM sports show, a guy show. I don't watch it. So fathers aren't left out of the loop on all of these things. So there's been really some cool outreach on these, with these campaign materials. I think the most important thing about the campaign materials, though, is parents of children who have developmental delays, including autism, many of them love these materials because they're very concrete in terms of here's the developmental milestones and here's what you can do with them, and they can share them with each other. We have, I don't know, Tracy, can you remember how many campaign champions we have throughout the country? About 500 campaign champions who literally are unpaid folks who love the campaign materials and take, really go to doctor's offices, go to MOPS groups, go to any kind of group who will listen about a child development and say, here's some great stuff, go for it and use it. And we distribute, I mean, the materials are free from CDC, so we have huge volumes of this stuff and get it out to anybody who wants to use the materials. What we've seen so far in terms of, before the campaign started, parents certainly, the question isn't do you look for developmental milestones, it's a different word, but of course nobody knows what developmental milestones are, but parents do report looking for ways their children play and speak and interact. We haven't seen huge changes in that, I mean, a little bit of change, but the real issue is are they looking for behaviors that suggest autism, and we are seeing gains in that. You know, in terms of knowing that they're not using words by two or losing words over time is a key warning sign. And then the best time to get help for children with autism, we're seeing huge benefits in terms of people understanding. You want to define this before they're 2 years old. There are types of autism that are sort of regression autism, where kids are doing fine later and then they regress, but most of the type of autism we're trying to intervene here expresses itself early. And if we catch it early, then early intervention can be very, very helpful. Acknowledge the folks who have done this work, Catherine Lyon Dania, Julia Whitney, Robin Castellani, Andrea Harris, and Melissa Krause-Taylor. Thank you very much.
Very interesting, all of this.